Okay, so this is Mr. Nick Turnham and part two.
Okay, whenever I was 6 years old, it was time to go to school. Well, mother and daddy felt like that I was too young to walk the first mile till we get to up to the Joneses who lived on Dr. McCoy's place. And so they helped me out of school until I was in the seven years old. And then I would walk, first year I walked from our house about a mile through the woods to the Joneses, and then I would get with all the Joneses and we would walk then the rest of the way to Bundick School. Now Bundick School was up on Bundick Road, and there was, Cron's place was on the right, the biggest part of the way up there. And then when you got on up pretty close to our school, probably an eighth of a mile, pretty close to it, there was Mr. and Ms. Tom Drake lived there on the left-hand side of the road going towards North Sewells.
Before you get to the school?
On the riverside of the road, Bundick Road, right past the school, you went through a creek. There's a pretty good creek there, and you go up the hill, and the Drakes live there on the hill, which wasn't very far from school.
For the newer folks, Charles Drake ended up with that part, Charles Drake Sr., and he's the one that dug out the big tank, and he later sold it to Randy Gajowski.
Is that right?
That's the place Mr. Turnham's talking about.
Daddy bought that place,
and we
moved up there.
That was part of the place where
your
home was.
But anyway, I went to the Bundick School. Bundick School was a two-room school. It was one through sixth grade, and there was first, second, and third grade on one end of the building, and with the division in between, and then on the other end was the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. My teacher in the first grade, I don't remember this for sure, but I believe it was Miss Sybil Windham, which was Joe Windham's wife. They lived about 100 yards from the school on towards North Seuss, where the road makes a turn and goes straight back towards North Seuss. There was a house right there on that corner. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember for sure, but I believe fourth, fifth, and sixth grade was taught by Newman Powers. Mr. Powers owned the place on up towards North Seuss before you got to Shepherd Creek. I believe his name was George Powers. I'm not sure.
You're absolutely correct. And I now own part of that place.
Is that right?
And the place that you were talking about where Windham's lived, Sybil Windham's daughter still owns that property. It's the corner of Donahoe and Bundick Road.
Yeah, yes. What's her name? Sybil's daughter.
She had two daughters.
Okay.
I'll let you know, but I don't remember.
To school there, and at two room school, and there was for all my friends, Ned and Palmer Donahue over there, then Bonnie later on. But no, I don't remember Bonnie ever being actually. She might have been too young. I just don't remember Bonnie going to school with us there in Bundick. But Ned and Palmer were two of my best friends. And then there was Joanne Kiefer, his sister Alice, and his other sister Vivian. Vivian was mentally challenged. Vivian lived to be a ripe old age. And even before Joanne Kiefer died, Vivian was in a home for mentally challenged people over out of Hearn, Texas. And I guess she must have passed away while she was there. I didn't know. But anyway, that was Joanne, Alice, and Vivian, Ned, and Palmer. Then there was a Windham boy, Morris. Now, Morris was the youngest one of the Windhams. And he was a year or so older than me, but Morris and I were good friends. And then Sam Windham had some children that went to school. Yeah, Sam had children went to school. There was Bobby Sam Windham, Pat, and Sue. They were younger, but I remember, and I can't remember the girl's name, but Bobby Sam Windham had an older sister who died when she was in school at Bundick.
What happened?
The best I can remember, she had an injury to a leg or something, and it got infected, but she was just a real young girl. The school had two outhouses, one for girls, one for boys. We had a big heater in each room. I'm sure it wasn't as big as I can imagine, but whenever I was at young age, it was just a great big old round heater. I know it was round.
Wood burning.
Oh, yes. And, well, who burned the wood? Well, it was burned in each room, but during the wintertime, the school board hired Tom Drake's son, Alton, who lived a short distance back towards the river on Bundick Road. He would come up to the schools early every morning when it was cold and start a fire in each one of the heaters. Hmm. Now, I went to school the first year, and I was 7 years old, and the first grade sat on the first row, and then the second grade, and then the third grade. Well, they would teach the first grade, and then the first grade had to sit there while they taught the second grade and then the third grade. So whenever I was promoted to the second grade, Lord already knew it. So I stayed, they put me in the second grade, and then after about a week, they moved me to the third grade, because when you were in the first grade, you had to listen to the second and the third grade the rest of the day. I walked to school the first year. My second year, Daddy bought me a black Shetland pony, and I rode that pony to Bundick School that year.
And what's the pony's name?
Black Beauty.
Black Beauty.
and she was coal black. Daddy bought me he was working down in South Texas, so he bought me a Mexican saddle that had a big round wooden horn on the saddle. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I was in the second grade, and I rode that horse to school, and the first day, and I tied the horse to a post oak tree, and I believe it's the same tree that's there today, because I've looked at it many times, and that old tree looks like it's at least 100 years old. But going home after I passed the Joneses' house, and I had to go through the woods for the last mile, I was a big boy, and I was going to take my horse to let her water at the tank, and we went by a tank, and I let the horse water, and she walked out into the tank, and there I was, and she got my saddle all wet. I'll never forget that. But anyway, Bundick School, we had all the neighborhood kids, and we were all, there was no organized activity. We had a deep water well with a windmill on it, and we had a cistern. So the windmill pumped the water in the cistern, and then by gravity that fed where you were going to drink. And we had no electricity at the school. This was wood-burning fire, but no electric lights or anything like that. There was no electricity in that area at that time. In fact, I was in the seventh grade before we ever got electricity. But anyway, we went to that school. The boys, every boy that I can ever remember had a pocket knife from the time he was big enough to walk. And every boy that I can remember would have a fight at least once a week. And I can never in my life ever remember any boy ever pulling a knife when he fought. And I've thought about that so much, because nowadays that would be common to pull the knife. But it was just unheard of.
Did y'all play Mumbly Peg?
All right. What we played, and I thought about this, we played two different types of marbles. And, of course, we played keeps. And that was against the rules. And the teachers, if she called us, you know, they'd give you a little whipping over
it.
But keeps, when you put the marbles in a circle, and when you knock one out, that was keepers. And you kept the marble.
Oh.
See, each one of you put so many marbles in the circle, and then you would lag to see who was going to shoot first. Lag was when you throw your marble, see who gets closest to a line. And then when you knock the marble out of that circle, you got to keep that marble. Now, that's keepers.
Oh, and the teacher wouldn't let you play
No, because that's gambling. You know. But we did it anyway. You know, we did it anyway. And we played, and I don't know who, I've thought about this. We went for marbles, and then we went to tops, spinning tops.
Oh.
Every boy, and you would take those tops, and I don't know if you're familiar with them, but you wrap the string around. But we would cut notches in them, in the sides, and when you would throw your top, spin it, boy, just whistle. Or we would put tacks in the side, and if you reach down to pick it up, it just cut the dickens out of your hands. But we played tops, and you, once again, boys, you know, boys are going to find ways to beat everything. Well, you drew a big circle, and you try, and if you knock your top, you spun, and if you tried to knock one other out.
Oh.
But when you played marbles, you had a toy that your, what was it, toy. That was your favorite marble, and it was an agate. And when you chewed it, you never did lose it. That was something that you kept all the time.
So it was off hands to anybody else.
That's right. I mean, everybody had their...
So did the top spin in the dirt?
Oh, yes. Everything was in the dirt because the yard, there wasn't any yard.
So people buy the tops or they whittle them?
No. You bought tops. I don't remember what they cost, but then you, are you familiar with the top?
Yeah.
And you wrapped them with a string and you could throw them and see, boys would get where they could put them on the string and walk them and this. I mean, that was a big thing. Boys played separate from the girls entirely. The girls, I was trying to think the other night, the girls played primarily jacks.
In the dirt.
And see, you had to remember this, that there was no such thing as homes having yards. There was no yard at all because there was no such thing as a lawnmower. The yards were swept on ground. I mean, that was it. And another marble game that we played was, and I think I remember this correctly as far as the name. I believe it was Holy Roly. But you dug 5 holes in the ground about 2 inches in diameter. And your marbles, you tried to go from one hole to the next. And your opponent would shoot his marble, knock yours out of the way.
Oh, okay.
But we played that, and we played regular marbles, and then we played tops. And there was no baseball playing. Now, once a year, all the school kids were gathered up, and I guess every school in Madison County, and we went to Madisonville for the county meet. Have you ever heard of a county meet?
I've done some research about the county meet. Yes,
we
sir.
Went to the county meet, and they would have softball games, and each school would...
That sounded like a lot of fun for kids. A big deal,
it was a big, big deal for kids. But because we had no organized sports at all.
Where was it held at, the meet?
I can't remember. It was held, if I'm not mistaken, at the Madisonville High School. They had a high school, And but
just
we,
out in the pasture, out in the field. Uh-huh.
And but we played all. They played softball. We played softball and everything in the world. You know, we didn't play any football.
How'd you get there?
I can't remember, except I think the North Sioux school bus carried us in.
So were the school bus looked like they do nowadays?
Yes, they were. And, you know, that was so strange when we went to school at Bundick. After you got past the sixth grade, you moved to North Sioux school. And we could walk to school at Bundick. And the North Sioux school bus would pass us up but wouldn't pick us up.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes. But I can remember distinctly we would be walking to school. North Sioux school bus come by and just drive right on by us because they only picked up the high school kids.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, because Bundick was a common school district. It was governed by the county school superintendent, who was Mr. Charlie Heath. I think he had a brother named, was an MD in Madisonville, Dr. Heath. But Charlie Heath was the county school superintendent. Whenever I started the school in North Zultz, Mrs. Heath taught me in the seventh grade.
It was the superintendent's wife?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. He was superintendent, but his office was in the courthouse in Madisonville. But Miss Heath and Miss Effie Hibbets taught me, too, she was Carlton Hibbets' wife, lived on the curve between North Sioux and Madisonville. I think they call it the Hibbets Curve, if I'm not
That's
mistaken.
That's what we call it today.
That's what I thought. Uh-huh.
Miss Sally Hibbets lives there. She married a Kanky, Travis Kanky.
Well, I know, but Sally was the Effie and Carlton Heath's daughter.
Right. She lives on that place today. Yeah.
Well, she's getting on up there in age.
Yes, sir. Not quite as old as you,
but I remember her. Mm-hmm.
Real sweet lady. Mm-hmm. Sure. Hibbets Curve. I think the entry says Rumfield Hibbets.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, in our... This is pretty wrapped up.
Yeah.
All right, let's knock it off there for a minute.
Okay, we're going to wrap up part two and give Mr. Turnham time to take a breath, or me, and then we'll start on part three.